As was announced, the scripture reading for this evening will be taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 25 through 26. That's Matthew 6, verses 25 through 26, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?
If you are a member of the Church of Christ, you have probably been called at one time or another a legalist. And there's different reasons for that. One is because we emphasize the importance of book, chapter, and verse for the things that we teach. We emphasize, of course, the importance of works, not meritorious, but works of obedience, works of faith. And so sometimes we are labeled as legalist. Another reason that often comes up is that we emphasize doctrine so much. And there are those who think that we emphasize doctrine too much. But as I think about the doctrine of Christ, I wonder if that is even possible. I'm not quite sure what that would look like or what that would sound like if somebody was emphasizing the doctrine of Christ too much. Obviously, I don't have a PowerPoint tonight, but if you are taking notes and you want a title for the sermon, it would just be the importance of doctrine. Doctrine is so important that, again, I'm not sure we can overemphasize the doctrine of Christ. It seems to me when people say that, they fail to understand exactly what the gospel is. But one passage of scripture that tells us that it is immensely important, and a passage that you're very familiar with, but for this lesson's sake, I want you to turn over there and we'll read it together. 2 John and at verse 9. We remember there's only one chapter in 2 John. But 2 John and at verse 9, John writes, everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ. I'm reading, of course, from the ESV. It translates the Greek word, didache, there is the Greek word, and it's always translated in the ESV, teaching. But the definition of that word has to do with simply instruction or something that is taught. And even that definition of that particular Greek word goes a long way in helping us understand the importance of doctrine and how it is used even in this verse before us. But the King James will use the word doctrine, maybe the New King James, I can't recall, but I know the King James usually translates that word doctrine. And we could look up the verses that mention and talk about and refer to doctrine, and they would be numerous. The Bible emphasizes doctrine a whole lot. But here in this passage before us in 2 John at verse 9, again, everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching or doctrine of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. And when you think about what John says here, again, how can you emphasize how important the doctrine of Christ is too much? We need to understand the doctrine of Christ. We need to know exactly what it is, and we need to make sure that we're abiding in it. And in the face of the fact that there are so many people who are not doing that, religiously inclined people, no wonder we have to constantly preach on and emphasize the importance of the doctrine of Christ. If you don't abide in the doctrine of Christ, you simply do not have God. And so this is a matter that deals with the salvation of souls. And surely it is important. Now, one way people take this passage of Scripture and they kind of water it down. And by the way, it's not just denominational scholars who would call us legalists. They are now so-called ultra-liberal brethren who would call us legalists as well. In fact, they call their liberal brethren legalists. And a lot of them will take this passage of Scripture and they'll say, well, the doctrine of Christ, the teaching of Christ there is just the teaching about Christ. In other words, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That's all that John is talking about in this passage. So you have to accept the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That would mean, of course, you'd have to believe that Jesus was a historical person, that he really lived here at a specific time and place, and that he died on the cross for our sins. But if you believe that, then they say that's abiding in the doctrine of Christ. The problem is, first of all, the word doctrine, this word didache, is a word that is used a lot, as I said earlier, in the Scripture. And generally speaking, whenever you read of the doctrine of someone or group of people, it is not talking about their life and how they live. It's talking about instruction, just like the word is defined. It's talking about what they teach. If you turn over to the book of Revelation, notice in Revelation chapter 2. In Revelation, the second chapter, and at verse 14, how would you interpret this idea of doctrine or teaching in this passage? Revelation chapter 2 and at verse 14, but I have a few things against you. You have some there who hold the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel, the sons of Israel, so that they might eat food sacrificed to idols and practice sexual immorality. Now, when you read that, do you think that what's under consideration is the life that Balaam lived, or is it what he taught? And in this case, we know what it is because it straight away talks about what he taught, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel. And so we know the doctrine of Balaam was not the story of his life, but what he taught. And in the very next verse, at verse 15, it says, and so also you have some who hold the teaching of the Nicolaitans. Is that the story of their life? Does that doctrine tell us about them, that group of people, or is it what they taught? And I think when you just read that, you know the answer to that question. If you turn over to Matthew, the 16th chapter, I'll give you another example of this. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew, the 16th chapter, and at verse 6, it says, Jesus said to them, watch and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And they began discussing it among themselves, saying, we brought no bread. But Jesus, aware of this, said, oh, you of little faith, why are you discussing among yourselves the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive? Do you not remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many baskets you gathered? Or the 7 loaves for the 4,000 and how many baskets you gathered? How is it that you fail to understand that I did not speak about bread? Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The King James again would say doctrine there. The doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. What is the doctrine of the Pharisees? Is it all about them and their life? Of course not. It's what they taught. I'm just showing you that's what's under consideration. When you read the teaching of someone, when you read about the doctrine of someone, it's simply what they taught. The word means instruction, something that is taught. And that's how it's consistently used in the New Testament. In fact, when we turn over to the end of the Sermon on the Mount, we hear the words of those who were listening to this great sermon. Matthew chapter 6 and chapter 7, rather, and at verses 28 and 29, after Jesus concludes this great sermon, it says, "And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowd were astonished at his teaching," or his doctrine. "For he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their own scribes." And now, what was then the teaching, the doctrine of Christ? We know here this is probably the greatest sermon that has ever been preached, or at least the greatest sermon we have record of. And so when these people refer to the teaching of Christ, one thing we know they're not referring to is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Because when you study the Sermon on the Mount from start to finish, he said absolutely nothing about that. But you don't even have to read the whole thing to know that. You can tell by the context, I think, that this is dealing with what he actually taught. So when we read of the doctrine of Christ, generally speaking, we would naturally come to the conclusion that what's under consideration when John says we must abide in the doctrine or the teaching of Christ, what's under consideration is the teaching of Christ. Not just the story of his death, burial, and resurrection. Listen to me. There's a whole lot of people who believe in the death, burial, and resurrection who are not right with God. If you took this passage to mean that that is all that the doctrine or teaching of Christ is referring to, then everybody who believes in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ is going to heaven. And we know that even by the context of 2 John or the rest of that particular verse. I've often called attention to the fact that the doctrine of Christ in that verse is not mentioned once, it's mentioned twice. And whatever it means in one place, that's what it means in the next place. And so, excuse me, and so notice, again, everyone who abides, who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. That shows the seriousness of it. But then he says, whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. So if that's just the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, every single person who continues to believe and accept that truth, that Jesus died, that he was buried, and that he rose from the dead, is going to heaven. It doesn't matter how they live. It doesn't matter who they are. As long as they abide in that belief, in that teaching about Christ, they're going to heaven. They have both the Father and the Son. I'm not sure how many even denominational preachers would accept that. But if you take the first case where it talks about the doctrine of Christ to mean that, you have to accept it meaning that in the second. The fact is, they do both mean the same thing, but it's not the teaching about Christ, it is the teachings of Christ, and that's what we must abide in. And it emphasizes the importance of doctrine. And by the way, we're not just talking about what Jesus himself specifically taught. The doctrine of Christ, when it's all said and done, is what we have in the New Testament. Jesus did some teaching when he was here during his personal ministration, but you remember, of course, that he also sent the Holy Spirit to his apostles who were guided into all truth, and the things that those apostles taught was the doctrine of Christ. In Luke chapter 10, notice what Jesus says to his own disciples. He reminded them of this reality in Luke chapter 10 and at verse 16. Luke, the 10th chapter, and at verse 16, Jesus says this, "The one who hears you hears me." Wonder why that is. That can't just be said of anybody, can it? But Jesus said it, and he meant it. Whoever hears you, right when they're hearing you, they're actually hearing me, he says. And he goes on, the one who rejects you is rejecting me. And the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me. How could Jesus say that? It's because when the apostles, when inspired men spoke, they spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, and their teaching, their words, were the teaching and words of Christ himself. And that's the consistent teaching of the New Testament. Paul warned the false apostles at Corinth. If you turn this time to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, there were apostles who were false. They were fake apostles. They were imposters, but at the same time, they were denying the authority of Paul. And so Paul addresses that over and over in 1 Corinthians, the entire epistle, really. But here at chapter 14, at verse 37, he says this. 1 Corinthians 14 at verse 37. He says, if anyone thinks that he is a prophet or spiritual. Now, someone who is a prophet, a true prophet, a real prophet, someone who is spiritual, who is being led by the Spirit, would know the truth, wouldn't he? And so Paul says then, if anyone thinks he is a prophet or spiritual, he should acknowledge that the things I'm writing to you are a commandment of the Lord. If anyone does not recognize this, he is not recognized. That is, he's not recognized as a prophet. Because if he was a prophet, he would recognize that what Paul was teaching was truth. But Paul says more than what he was teaching was just truth. He says, I'm writing to you a command of the Lord. Everything that Paul ever wrote by inspiration was a commandment of the Lord. The words of Christ. And so when John says we must abide in the teaching or the doctrine of Christ, it's not just the things that Jesus taught in his ministry. So many people I've heard over the years, well, if it's not written in red, it's really not that important. Like I literally had people call me on the radio and tell me that. Oh, I don't care what Paul said about women keeping silent in the church or whatever the issue might be. I don't care what John wrote here. If it's not in red, if Jesus didn't specifically say it, I don't have to listen to it. They don't realize that Jesus was saying it. Whatever Paul said by inspiration on any subject, that was Jesus saying it. When you heard him, you heard Christ. That was according to Jesus himself. And so we need to understand then, is doctrine important? Yes. Because we have to abide in it. And abiding in it doesn't mean just believing the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. It means believing and accepting everything that Christ taught directly and through his inspired apostles. Doctrine is important. How in the world could you emphasize it too much? Consider something else. The doctrine of Christ is the gospel. If you look over at Romans chapter 6. In Romans the 6th chapter. At verse 17. A familiar passage. Very simple verse. Romans 6 at verse 17 says, but thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching. The King James says, this form of doctrine. And so Paul is dealing with doctrine. What doctrine? The doctrine of Christ. He says that you have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And look at verse 18. Having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. When were they set free from sin? It's when they obeyed that standard of teaching, that form of doctrine. Now that form, he is comparing to the teaching, the doctrine of Christ, to what Jesus did for us. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. For a person to be saved, for a person to be set free, that person must die, just like Jesus died. Though Jesus died physically, we must die to sin. And Jesus was buried, and we must be buried, but not in a tomb. We must be buried in the waters of baptism. And Jesus was raised from the dead, and we must be raised out of the waters of baptism to the newness of life. And that's the form, the standard that he's talking about. But he refers to it as doctrine here. And so we find that's the gospel, isn't it? And so the doctrine is not only teaching, it's gospel. It's gospel. Romans 1 at verse 16, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. You don't think doctrine is important? It's a part of the gospel of Christ. Of course it is important. But when you think about the gospel is the faith. Turn your Bibles over to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, and we see these terms used interchangeably. I've pointed this out many times before. But it's important. There's some people, some of these liberal brethren I was talking about, they sometimes make a distinction between doctrine and gospel. Like, it's really amazing some of the extent some brethren will go to free people up with the standpoint of letting them do whatever they want to do instead of really abiding by the teaching of Christ. They mix all kind of things up. It has been said, well, we can preach the gospel to the world, but we can't teach the doctrine of Christ to them. We can teach the doctrine of Christ to the church, but we can't preach the gospel to them. And they make this big distinction between the teachings of Christ and the gospel of Christ, where in the Bible there is no distinction of those things. And just amazing where people will go. But notice how Paul uses these terms interchangeably. Verse 11, for I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that I preached, that was preached by me, is not man's gospel. What did Paul preach? The gospel. He was a gospel preacher. But when you drop down to verse 23, it says, and they were hearing, it said, he who used to persecute us, that is Paul, is now preaching what? The faith he once tried to destroy. What's the difference between the faith in verse 23 and the gospel at verse 11? There is no difference. The gospel is the faith. But the faith sometimes is described as the word of faith. Look over to Romans chapter 10 just for a second. In Romans, the 10th chapter, listen to how Paul himself describes the word. Romans chapter 10 and at verse 8. Romans, the 10th chapter at verse 8, he says, but what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. What did Paul preach? The gospel. He preached the faith. Now he says he was proclaiming the word of faith because that's what the faith is. And therefore, that's what the gospel is. The word. There's no watering that down. It's the word. The gospel is the word. The faith is the word. And not just any word. It's the word of God. Look at 1 Thessalonians for a second. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'm sure you've read this before. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul was very thankful of how the brethren in Thessalonica received the word of God. Look at verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 2 at verse 13. He says, and we also thank God consistently for this, that when you received what? The word of God, which you heard from us. What did Paul preach? He preached the gospel. He preached the faith. He preached the word of faith. What did the folks at Thessalonica hear from Paul? The word of God. He said, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. So now just follow this. The Word of God. What is it? It's the Word of faith. The Word of faith is the God, just the faith sometimes, which is used interchangeably with the term gospel. But the gospel, we found, is the doctrine of Christ. And so when you connect all that up, what is the doctrine of Christ? It is the Word of God. Now tell me, pray tell, how in the world can you overemphasize the Word of God? Which at the end of the day, when people say, you're just a bunch of legalists, you talk about the doctrine of Christ too much. Do they really realize what they're saying? I told you in the beginning, I don't know if you can overemphasize the doctrine of Christ. You know why I say that? Because I know that the doctrine of Christ is the Word of God. And I just can't see how we can emphasize God's Word too much. You remember, as we wrap this up, you remember in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And at verse 1, it simply says this. You're familiar with this. Familiar passage. Paul says, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, and complete patience in teaching. Why? Because that's how you preach the word. Preach the word. That was the instruction of Paul. I wonder if Paul emphasized doctrine too much. Because when he tells Timothy to preach the word, he's telling him, proclaim the faith. Proclaim the word of faith. Proclaim the word of God. Proclaim the doctrine of Christ. Get out of concordance sometime and just look at how many times that word, didache, is used. And see if you can walk away with how inspired writers of the New Testament use that word. If you can walk away and say, you know, maybe we ought to stop emphasizing doctrine so much. Say, well, you need to talk more about faith. Guess what? Faith is a part of the doctrine of Christ. we should talk about love more. Guess what? That's a part of the doctrine of Christ. Anything you emphasize, even the story about Jesus, his death, burial, and resurrection, while we can't say that's all there is to the doctrine of Christ, it is a part of the doctrine of Christ. And surely we should emphasize the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. We understand all of that. But it's all doctrine. The importance of doctrine. Don't let anybody you talk to, don't let family, don't let people you work with, those you go to school with, persuade you not to emphasize the doctrine of Christ because it's not a popular thing to do. You're called a legalist? Accept it. By the way, it's a different sermon for a different time, but I've always argued, did Jesus really condemn legalism? What is a legalist? And people misunderstand. They think, oh, you're just like the Pharisees. They were legalists. Jesus never condemned the Pharisees for being legalists, not one single time. He condemned them for saying and doing not. He condemned them because they were hypocrites, not because they loved the Word of God or thought it was important to abide in the law. That, he never condemned them for that. If you're a legalist, that just means you are committed to the law of Christ and carrying it out and emphasizing it to other people. If that makes me a legalist, I claim to be guilty. The fact of the matter is, doctrine is important, and we have to abide in it. And we ought to be teaching. Paul said that he was ready to defend. He stood for the defense of the gospel of Christ. That's the doctrine, and we ought to be defending it. I hope we do. Are you subject to the invitation of Christ? Maybe you have been told doctrine is not important. And along those lines, you've been told all you have to do is believe and you're going to heaven. So you haven't really obeyed the faith. We saw from Romans chapter 6 that form of doctrine involved dying to sin, but also being buried in the waters of baptism and then rising to walk in the newness of life. You can't walk in the newness of life without being baptized. Romans 6 at verse 4 is clear about that. Paul said that he and others were baptized in order to walk in the newness of life. Until you are baptized, your sins are still attached to you. The only thing that will get rid of those sins is the blood of Christ. And you contact that in the waters of baptism. That's what Romans 6, 3 and 4 is all about. You ready to have your sins washed away by the blood of Christ? Do something about that tonight. Obey the gospel. Become a new creature in Christ. If you're a Christian who has slipped away, if you stop being faithful, change that this very night. You may not have another opportunity. Repent of your sins and pray God, Acts 8 at verse 22. Get back on the right course so you can go to heaven after a while. Start abiding within the doctrine of Christ once again. Do it right now as we together stand and sing.